My name is Ori. I'm a Kaposo reader. Speaking of that mic, huh? Speaking of that mic. How we doing today? You're well fed. You're taken care of. It's a good spot to be in. Let's just take a moment. Let's take a moment to connect with what's happening here right now. Like, I look around this room, and I see all these beautiful smiling faces. Like, this is where the magic is. This is where the magic is. I'm going to start off with a little reading. A vision for you. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and feeling that life is good, but not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. I think about those last days. I had gotten up to 485 pounds. And there's nothing pretty about a 485-pound life. It's a painful existence. I couldn't wipe myself. I couldn't leave the house. I had a mild form of agoraphobia. I didn't want people to see me. I stopped showing up for family. I stopped showing up for work. I couldn't take showers. Not many have this experience of being pushed to the brink. Like Bill W., I wanted to kill myself. And I had reached a level of hopelessness in life where that was my only solution. The only solution I could produce was killing myself. There's nothing sexy or pretty about that. I could come up here and give you the showman. I did a little bit of that. I could try to be clever and slick with my words, but that's not the type of share that I want to give tonight. The type of share that I want to give tonight is coming from my pain and my eventual recovery from that. Look, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I tell my sponsees, people that I work with, this is going to be the hardest thing that you ever do. Something that helped me in this recovery, in this time around, was expecting it to be the most difficult thing that I would do. I had exhausted all my pink cloud points. And I knew that it was going to be a dogfight every day. And this time around, in that first 90 days, there were moments where my skin felt like it was on fire, where my head was everything in me wanted to eat. Everything in me wanted to binge. And through those moments, somehow I would pray and I would ask God to help me show up in a different way. I would make one more text. I would make one more call. I would show up at one more meeting. Every day was a dogfight. So I tell people, expect it to be the most difficult thing you do. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I've been pushed to a place where only a spiritual experience could save me. I had exhausted all my mental resources, and I could not muster up a solution. I could not get back on. And you know, it was interesting this time around when I came back. because I'm a multiple relapse. I've experienced multiple relapses. I did not want to come back. I did not, like, there was a part of me that just did not want to, like, not OA. Just not OA. I wanted anything else. Just not fucking OA. Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mental commitment not to drop any F-bombs. I'm sorry. I really am. I may drop maybe, this is a 30-minute share, maybe two to three more. You dropped the bomb on me, baby. Oh, I'm surprised you know that one. So, like, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that, you know, look, I have a lot of knowledge of the big book. I have a lot of knowledge of how technically this works. But there was something that happened to me. There was a moment for me where I received the gift. I was talking earlier about the magic. Look, I believe in the big book. I really do. But there was something that happened to Bill W. in that hospital room where all his other attempts had failed. Something happened to Bill W. in that hospital room. And something happened to me. And that's why I work so hard today. Because I can't tell you what happened. I can't tell you what happened, and that's humbling, because I want to take credit. I want to package this up in a way. Look what Ore's doing. Don't you see how hard I work? Don't you see how much knowledge I have of the big book? I want to package it up like that, but what keeps me honest is knowing that I did not create this thing. Why did it happen for me 3 years and 6 months ago? Why? I don't know. So, about 5 years ago, when I was at my highest weight, at the highest level of hopelessness that I had ever achieved in my life, and these were my best ideas. My best ideas got me to this place. My best mode of thinking got me to this place where I wanted to kill myself. I was practicing hanging myself with a leather jump rope on a door, knowing that wasn't going to succeed because I was way too big for that. So I thought about maybe if I put some oil on the ground so my feet couldn't grip the floor, maybe that would ensure my death and me not being able to recover so I could really go through with this. Not everybody has that experience. Not everybody has been pushed to that level. So while I'm in this place, I called my Kaiser counselor. She called the police to come to my door because I was a shut-in. I forgot the, I'm sure Harlan could tell me the guy's name. He was a shut-in in a barn. And he... Fitzmail. He was in a barn. This guy had locked himself in a barn. And he had resigned to the fact that he was going to die. That was my experience. What's that feedback? So here we are. Police knocking at my door for a sanity check. The neighbors are informed of my instability. They're worried for me. I go to treatment. An eating disorders facility called, I probably can't mention that name, but it's an eating disorder facility. Now I was enrolled in, you know, intensive outpatient. And that treatment saved me, actually. It pulled me out of a very deep, dark hole. But that wasn't the answer. After a year of intensive outpatient in that facility, I was discharged with full honors. And then in 6 months, the wheels started to fall off again. All the success and progress that I had made in treatment started to unravel. And then there was talk of me returning back to the treatment facility so I could restabilize. I knew that wasn't the answer. I needed something different. And here we come back to this idea of, like, please God, anything but OA. Fuck. I got two more, so brace yourself. Two more. Two more F-bombs. So the reason I tell you that story is, you know, and I like, I've heard this over years. Like, I feel like, what did I do? Like, why am I deserving of the level of freedom I have today? And the gift was, and you know what, I hope I don't rub a lot of people wrong with this. The gift was given to me before I worked the steps. This time around, somebody told me, Ore, connect with this men's group. I got into the men's group, and one of the guys in the men's group told me, hey, look, text me your food. I don't know why the thought came to me, let me just try my food plan. If I'm just going to text this guy, I might as well try my food plan for today. I'm not going to text the guy that I had a pizza, 6 wings, 2 slices of cheesecake, a Diet Coke. You know about the fucking Diet Coke. I love to share earlier. Like, this is the type of compulsive overeater I am. I'll roll up in Jack in a Box. For those who don't understand my slang, that means drive through Jack in a Box. I roll up in Jack in a Box. And I order, you know, enough food for 3 people. And when I pull up to the window, hey, I'm pretending I'm on the phone. Oh, what else do you want? Hold on. Because I wanted to present myself not as a 485-pound guy that I was barely able to squeeze into the car. That's the type of compulsive overeater I am. What is the problem? Like, what is the problem the food? Is it? Is the problem the food? What is the problem? So this spiritual malady that I have, it says in the book, the spiritual malady manifests in selfishness and self-centeredness, right? Like, what connection does that have with food? See, I've been restored to a position of neutrality. Like, when I say I have neutrality around the food, that is not a theory. I want to say 98% of the time, I wake up and I'm not driven by that overwhelming desire to destroy myself with the food. And I use those words because it's very important for me to really paint the picture. I was killing myself with food, thinking that I was taking care of myself. That is the delusion. This is going to make me feel good. The delusion that this is going to make me feel better. But in reality, what I'm doing is killing myself. And the beauty about this thing is, no matter how much awareness I have over that, no matter how much self-knowledge I have of this reality, I can't stop myself from killing myself. Wow. And this disease tells me that I don't have a disease. Yikes. I will sacrifice everything in my life absent of the spiritual experience in a higher power, I will sacrifice everything in life to get my fix. But let's go back to the selfishness and self-centeredness that we think is the root of our problem. Like, what is that? It tells me that me thinking about me is the problem. See, I have these narratives. I have a certain way that I look at life, a certain way that I show up in life that causes a disturbance. It causes me pain. It puts me in contention with others. I'm at war with life. And as a result, it causes pain. And as a result of that pain, I must seek relief. And nothing provides relief like some peach cobbler. I lie. Cheesecake. And I'm not one of those that just certain food items that I'm allergic to that produce that craving. My number one thing is overeating. And that's why I need clear-cut boundaries around my food, because when I overeat, it triggers this craving where I want more. I want more. Like, that is a weird, just think about that. That is weird. That is weird. I've been restored to a certain level of sanity that allows me to see that that salmon was more than 4 ounces. I was able to piece off a little bit of that salmon and eat what I believe would be 4 ounces. Oh, I didn't want to tell you that because I want to be a goody two-shoes. I'm telling you that because if I don't do that, it may trigger something in me where I want more. And then I'll sneak off after this talk, and then I'll find my way at Carl's Jr. down the street. And I know where that Carl's Jr. is because I have that food echolocation. I know where every 7-Eleven is in a 10-mile radius. That's fucking true. Oh, damn, that's three. Look, selfishness and self-centeredness. Right? This narrative that I tell myself. See, now, the food, like I said, I'm not driven by that overwhelming desire to compulsively overeat anymore. Well, does that mean I'm cured? Does that mean I'm cured?
No.
Because the allergy of the body is no longer being activated, but we have another problem. Uh-oh. I didn't want it. Like, this is the part that took me a long time to accept. That I have a mental illness. Like, how else do you explain 485 pounds? Like, how else do you explain being in a treatment center? That's why I love that treatment center experience, because it drove home the fact that I have a mental illness. The obsession of my mind. The obsession of my mind. And I'm going to go a little bit out of context here. Food isn't the only thing that I obsess about. And sometimes, like when I go through to work with somebody, when I go through doctor's opinion, it talks about irritability, restless, and discontent. And unless we can experience the sense of ease and comfort that comes immediately by succumbing to our desire, like, we know all that, right? Like, and I think about, like, if you eliminate the food, Does the food cause the irritability and restless and discontentedness? Because I find that I'm irritable, restless, and discontent after the food is quieted down. What causes that? Well, here we go. Let's go down the deep, dark, twisted hole of ore. I like to feel superior to my fellows. I want you to know how smart I am. And I'm going to cleverly set you up so you know how smart I am. I'm not going to come out and say, hey, I'm smarter than you. But I'm a snake charmer. Ooh. I'm going to use my charm. I'm going to use that charisma. And I'm going to show you just how much better I am than you. Oh, here's a big one. Here we go. Here we go. I want the world to behave according to my script. Is anybody in here controlling? Some don't want to admit it. Does anybody lack compassion for their fellows? Oh, hold up. The fourth column of the fourth step, where were we delusional, dishonest? Does anybody think that if the world just behaves the way you want it to, you could be emotionally secure? Okay. All right, here we go. Is anyone fearful, frightened that people will look down upon them or think less than them? Ooh. Okay. This is one that's really loud for me today. Look, I was spiritually coasting along, you know, talking all around town and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and my wisdom that you all needed to hear. And then I made the mistake of starting the day. I got into a relationship. Oh, no. You know what? It taught me that I haven't got it. And all jokes aside, it shows me that the sickness is alive. The illness is still alive. And the illness is in my thinking. It talks about freedom from bondage of self. What does the self tell me? The self tells me that I'm not good enough to get the job that I want to go for. The self tells me that I am unlovable. The self tells me that the reason my boss didn't talk to me in passing in the hall is because he knows how much of a shit worker I am. The self tells me that in order to be qualified to speak up here, I need a gazillion years of recovery or abstinence. The self tells me that I'm unattractive. The self tells me that, but it's funny, the self can also tell me that, look how great I am. The self tells me when I'm in a meeting on the west side, they're not working it right. Look how good I'm working it. The self tells me, because I listen to vision for you, that my recovery is stronger. Like, that's just a few examples of what the self tells me. What is the remedy for self-centeredness? It tells, Work, I love that. And here's, my recovery, it says, is dependent upon my constant need, my constant thinking of others' needs. How can I meet others' needs? Did you hear what I just said? Only have one more F-bomb, but I would have used it right there. Working with others? Don't you know how important my time is? I'm in school. I have a career. I have a girlfriend. I like to race exotic cars. I like long walks on the beach. Where am I going to squeeze in time to work with others? I love, like, I was at Kim G's workshop out at the Vision for You conference, and she talked about how step 12, like, that's an actual step. Like, working with others is an actual step. I mean, like, that, you know, and it hit me like, yeah, that's true. It talks about that. That's a part of the treatment plan. That's a part of my treatment plan. That's what's saving my life. It talks about failing to enlarge upon your spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice? It's all about me. It's 24-hour ore. God forbid that I give up my time to save my life. God forbid. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, what do? The problem is, it's like, if you haven't had a spiritual awakening, how are you going to carry that message? I thought I knew what a spiritual awakening was. Look, I'm not, you know, like, get into that, you know, like, that realm is easy. Look, it starts at the plate for me. It starts at my plate. Like, you want to know God. Stop using. You're going to find God real quick. Right? But, you know, look, it wasn't like, you know, I can't tell you to put down the food, because it wasn't a conscious decision for me. Like, I swear, like, it was just a moment where I was just like, let me try to follow my food plan. It was gentle. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to be the day. It was just a thought of, let me try and follow my food plan. And something happened. Last night, after getting into the room late, I had a perfect excuse not to do my nightly review. I've been in recovery all day. Why do I need to do a nightly review? Makes sense, right? Shit, I'm being a service and I'm talking to fellows all day. Why do I have to do a nightly review? Here's the thing about that nightly review, though. For some reason, it produces relief. And I'm an undisciplined character. and I need discipline in my life. I need discipline. And that's part of the contract. The contract is I get freedom, and God gives me the ability to live. God gives me the ability to live. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. I wanted to just end that great events will come to pass for you. But it says countless others. It's a miracle that I'm standing here today. I want you to hear that again. It's a miracle that I'm standing here today. And there's nothing fucking special about me. There goes my last F-bomb of the night. How many more minutes do I have, Susan? Nice. There's nothing more special about me. This is available to us all. There are people out in this audience right now who are struggling. Love them. Love them. See how you can be helpful to them. Don't marginalize them and cast them to the side. See where you can be helpful to your, like we are in the trenches together. We are soldiers. Love them. Don't feel superior to them. Love them. I've had conversations with people since Friday about them being in struggle. Desperate to get relief. How do we support each other? Don't just cram the big book down their throats. We know that's the solution. Is there any... we know that's the outline. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know that the outline is in the big book? So I don't have to beat you over the head with that. We do have to get aligned with that. That's clear. I don't need to beat you over the head with that. How can I be helpful to you? I want to be helpful. I was given something and I want that to happen for you. I spent a lot of time in this recovery shooting people in the foxhole, shooting people in the same foxhole with me. We're in the trenches. And like I said, this is the most difficult thing that I have done in my life. Recovery is for soldiers. Living in reality is for soldiers. Not taking the edge off is for soldiers. Accepting what is for soldiers. Look, so if you're struggling right now, if you haven't received the gift, keep showing up. And if you need to eat, go ahead and eat. Because eventually it ends. There's a moment of grace that kicks in, and you better protect that moment for dear life, because it may not come again. I took that moment of grace for granted so many times. I don't take that moment of grace for granted anymore. It may not come back. It may not come back. That's the reality. If I got up to 485 pounds this last time, who's to say I won't get up to 600 pounds? Or who's to say that I won't start over-exercising to the point where my knees are breaking, where I'm starving myself? Because that's a part of it too. That's not my particular experience, but I see people killing themselves in all sorts of ways. How do we love each other here? How do we support each other in the work? Great events will come to pass. Hang in there, baby. Hang in there. Because if it can happen for me, it can happen for you, and that supports me, so I can continue to experience it. I need you all. I need you all. It takes a village to raise Ori. And I got a big, active brain. And it likes to create stories. And I need you all. So happy 60th OA.